I want to start off by saying thank you to the congregation for sending us and for praying for us while we were down there. Also bring back greetings from Peter Bors. Peter came up from North Carolina to spend the week with us in Kentucky. So what is a REACH Global Crisis Response trip like? Well, all of them are different, but their main focus is people over projects. We would start out each day with a devotion led by REACH Global staff on Monday and Friday, and then our team members led Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. We were at our devotion on Monday. Their main thing was to be all in for Jesus. And that's what they challenged us to do by stepping out of our comfort zone. The people I was serving was Dwayne and Reva, and Amy Jo, Kelly, Pastor Matt, and I was tasked with putting in a floating floor in their house. We had minimal experience at that, as in one of us had ever done anything like that before. They also needed someone to run a chop saw. Growing up, I was always the board holder, so I stepped out of my comfort zone there and volunteered to do that. And I'm glad I did, because it gave me a chance to talk with Dwayne about the things that he experienced with the flooding. On his road there, the only two houses that flooded were his and the one that was diagonally across the street that he was born in. And the reason for that was a chunk of the mountain actually fell off and dammed up the road. So the water just kind of backed up to his and flooded his house. We were able to finish the flooring in the rest of their house by Wednesday. And we got some kitchen cabinets installed for them on Thursday as well. And then we had no saw Tuesday. So all we drove, it was a 45-minute drive from the church we were staying to their house, and we drove out there and forgot the batteries for the saw. So while our REACH Global staff person went back to get the batteries, we got to work and we used the utility knife to cut the flooring. And he came back without batteries because another group had stolen them and used them. We also were able to, at night, get some team bonding in. If you don't know this, Amy Jo is competitive. When playing Five Crowns, and that's no mercy for beginners, unless you're under the age of 20, and then there's some for a round or two, but after that, you're on your own. We also got to help make blessing boxes, and there was a community dinner on Wednesday night. And I also stepped out of my comfort zone again on Thursday by leading a devotion without sending Pastor Matt 7 to 10 emails. Trusting that God would give me the words to say without somebody else's approval. So my experience overall was really good. It was humbling seeing places that had been abandoned because of flooding. Even more humbling is some of those houses still had people living in them because it's all they have. We were there to do God's work for the people of Kentucky and grow as Christians, and I know that I did. And I believe the rest of these folks did as well. And who would like to share next?
I will. Thank you. I am the same with Kurt. I'd like to thank this church for your support and prayers and contributions that made this trip possible. And to REACH Global, the amazing group of leaders that are at the Clear Creek Free Church where we stayed. They had heard the calling of God and they came to serve other people. A missions trip is more than just a journey. It's a different place, a journey to a different place It is an experience that often transforms you and often requires that you step out of your comfort zone to make a difference in lives of others. We have truly stepped out of our comfort zone. I feel so blessed and humbled to have the opportunity to travel to Hazard, Kentucky to serve with others. Our group of 11 was divided into three smaller groups, each going in different locations. Four of us went to Chavies, located in Perry County, to Chavies First Church of God. This February, the church was under 5 feet of water, and an older church beside it also that was used for a local food bank also was flooded. Help had come before us in our group and had come before us to do work, and our group hung bathroom doors, repaired steps, built a closet, helped to cover the wall of existing stairs. I must say at this time, please don't call on me to hang your bathroom doors. Your hinges will go the opposite direction, and I am not good with tools. But I tried, and we succeeded. We met people from the congregation who had worked to get their food bank up and running again, how they had helped to feed people after the flood by cooking in the parking lot. They were, and how people came, food came in, and people from all denominations and people of all communities came and they served. They were so appreciative and kind, and through listening to them, you laugh with them and there are tears. In Galatians 5:13, it says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through the love to serve one another." I ask you that you keep Pastor Brian Bridges from the Chavies First Church of God in your prayers and his congregation as they continue with their outreach to the community and the people in need. I thank God for his protection over our group during our trip to Kentucky, and may the honor and glory be to God. Thank you.
So I was also a part of Kate's group at the Chavies Church of Christ, and I will say, regardless of what Kate tells you, she has mastered the drill, so she can now, you know, put in screws without having to drop any on the floor. So she does very well at that now. So my experience, when we first got there, we had orientation, and the first question they asked you was, what are your expectations? And for me, it was very hard to set any expectations. We weren't given a lot of information as to what we'd be doing. I'm a planner at heart, so I wanted to know, like, what do you have in store for me? What can I think about? What can I plan? And so that was really a step out of my comfort zone at first. But to say that I had no expectations, because I really didn't. I knew that they would feed us and they would provide shelter and, you know, all of that. So I wasn't worried about that. But at the end of the week, to say that I had no expectations at the beginning, my expectations were far exceeded. I grew. I stepped out of my comfort zone. I took the words that Dave had given us at the beginning of the week. He gave us a poker chip for the symbol to symbolize the all-in aspect, and I really took that to heart. And Kelly and I had talked kind of at the end of the week about, you know, the impact that we may have had with the people in Kentucky. Seems like it was like this much compared to, you know, this much as to how I was impacted and how my heart was impacted. And so kind of what Kate had said, please keep those people in your prayers. They are really a passionate people. They look out for one another. When you talk to them, they're like, I'm blessed, I'm thankful, but you need to look at my neighbor down the road. They seem to have it a little worse, and they're always looking out for the other person. And so for me to bring that home with me, the people over projects, is something that I'm trying to instill, and I'm putting people over me. So that's what I'm trying to do. From the trip, it was a great experience, and I thank the church for sending us and providing for us. Thank you.
I had a really good time going down there. I think it's really interesting and eye-opening to see like what a natural disaster looks like and the trauma the people face down there. There's people that when it rains, they have to go to a hotel. Like, they can't stay in their house. They gotta go to higher ground. Kids are terrified when it rains. The one out of school, and they just, it's just so sad. It's like a simple rain event triggers them in so many different ways. I think it's really nice to go down there and be able to lend a hand. I didn't feel as though I did that much, but I feel like maybe to them I did a lot. And being up here now, it's really rewarding knowing that I did help them. And I'm really thankful for my team. And I learned a lot about these guys too, because like we go to church all the time together, and you don't really know everyone in this church. And I think it's really cool just to learn about people in our church.
Like, for example, Zane has a voice. Who knew?
The week in Kentucky, one of the big things we talked about during devotions and throughout the week was that God's plan is bigger and better than ours. And I think my group really experienced that, because we were in a group and we were working on this ladies' trailer, and we were putting skirting around the bottom of it. And we made several Lowe's trips throughout the 4 days that we worked on our trailer. And the other groups and teams seemed to be meeting the homeowners and interacting with them. And that's really what I was looking forward to doing when we got down there. And we didn't meet the homeowner that we were working on. And then the last day we were working there, we ended up going to Lowe's, which delayed our work on her trailer. But when we came back, she was there and we got to meet her. And that was just like really special. And just to see how grateful the small things that we can do for people, and like it just really opens your eyes of how much we have and makes you feel really grateful for everything around us. And that was just God's plan, that like we ran out of materials and needed to go to Lowe's, but coming home and her showing up and just showing the love she has for the community and all the people down there are just so grateful for all of us going and all the teams going down there. And it was just a really great week.
I've had a lot of people ask me when I got back, well, how was your trip? And I honestly didn't know how to answer that because there was so much. So I started to think about some things that I could tell you. For instance, I could tell you that Kurt loves to play cards and throw them across the table. I could tell you that some people like sub-zero temperatures for sleeping, not to mention any names, Bobby and Penny. I could tell you that I got a daily workout getting in and out of Zane's truck. It was a miracle. My legs are too short. I could tell you about how Kelly called me old. I heard her. It was old. And I could tell you about at the job site that we were at, we had to haul water from the creek to flush the toilet. You should laugh at that. It wasn't funny. And I could tell you that Jake is not from State Farm. But instead, I want to tell you about a friend that I have that has nothing to do with my church here, but she's my sister in Christ from college. Her name is Florence, and I was talking to her about a month and a half ago, and she asked me what my plans for the summer were, and I told her about the trip, and she very wisely said, I said, you know, well, I'm going to go, and I don't know what I'm going to do for these people. I'm so naive. And she said, this trip is for you, too. This is for you to grow from. And so the first day that we were there, as one of them mentioned, we got the poker chip to be all in on our trip and our mission. We were encouraged to be present, obedient, sensitive, available, to be a good listener. We actually went through trauma training, how to be responsive to people who have gone through trauma. We were encouraged to be willing, prayerful, and as somebody mentioned many times, people over projects, that it's the people that are the most important. So for 4 days, I went to Dwayne and Reva's house. They had lost everything, and I can't even imagine. I came home, and I sat on my deck, and I was sitting there alone, and there have been times I've sat on my deck and felt sorry for myself because I'm sitting there alone, and it dawned on me, I have a deck to sit on. I have this. And how ungrateful many times that I am. These people had lost their house 3 years ago. They had 5 feet of water in their house. They still were not able to live in their home. So imagine that for 3 years, waiting. Our team was Pastor Matt, Kurt, Kelly, and myself. We laid flooring for 3 days. They told you that. I got to meet Dwayne and Reva and Reva's friend Karen. Karen not only lost her home, but she lost her husband as well. He went out. The flood happened in the middle of the night. It took everybody by surprise. And the water swept away the car that he was trying to save and him as well. They found him, I think, 3 days later, they said. As I listened to Reva and Karen talk, I did something that I had never done before or experienced before. They were ready to leave, and I knew that the Holy Spirit was prompting me to say, may I pray with you before you go? And they said yes, and so we went into the kitchen, and we prayed together. And as I said, I've never done that before. I've prayed out loud. I don't mind doing that. I've prayed in front of people. But I've never been in a situation where impromptu, it's just, you need to pray with these people. And so I did that. I've thought a lot about that. It was natural. It was right. And then the question came to me, why don't I do that here, now, every day, whenever God prompts me to do whatever, to be obedient? Why do I need to go to Kentucky on a mission trip to be so sensitive and responsive to God's leading? So that's something that I need to take a look at and I need to work at. I need to keep that in the front of my mind to be all in. John 15:5 says, and this is the verse that kept coming back to me about the trip. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So I really felt for this whole trip that God was the vine. And the blue shirts, those are the people from Reach Global that were our leaders. They were the bigger branches coming out from the vine. And all of us from Lance, we were the smaller branches and the leaves, and we were connected. That's the best way that I can describe it. God took us who didn't know each other, were all so different from each other, and yet he wove us together and made us a tight-knit group with a goal. It was his goal, not ours. And so I guess if I could sum it up, that I actually felt snuggled together with God, with these people and the people down there in Kentucky. They also gave us, and I have it in my little bag here, a puzzle piece to take home as a reminder that we are one of the puzzle pieces in God's plan. And whether we're on a missions trip in Kentucky or we're right here at home, it's my responsibility to be all in, no matter where I am, a willing puzzle piece of the plan that God is working. And he has everything under control. I believe with all my heart, he chose us to be together, to go there, and to meet these people, and the devotionals, the prayer time, the prayer walks, everything was just knit together in such, it's just miraculous. So my friend Florence from Florida was right. This mission trip was for the people in Hazard, Kentucky, but it was for me as well. And I'm very, very grateful. And I do want to thank you for supporting me and all of us. And one thing that I was thinking too, that you sit here and you weren't there, but I want you to know that the money that you contribute, that we contribute as a church to this mission, is well spent. There's no need to be wondering, like, should my money go there? It is very, very well worth it. Thank you.
So I was in the group that had a lot of unexpected things happen with her and Penny. We didn't do exactly what we had planned any of the days, but we always ended up getting something done. As she said, God has a plan. It might not always be our plan, but it's what is right. And throughout all of our adventures, I got to hear a lot of stories from Eric, which was a staff member down there for Reach Global and the leader of our group, about a lot of the tragedies that happened down there. And it was just really eye-opening to see what all of these people had went through and how they didn't really give up, and they just kept going, and how much they appreciate our help. And as she said as well, through all those trips, when we came back and finally got to meet Arlene, the lady we were working on her trailer, it just meant a lot to see what we were doing work for, who we were doing work for, and it just made me like really grateful that I got to go down there and help these people.
One thing I learned is that Jake can knock back the donuts. I think he ate a record number of donuts one of the mornings we were there together. It was so good to be knit together as a team. You're hearing a theme out here of outside of our comfort zone. Have you heard a couple people say that already this morning? Well, one of the things that I needed to do, it's in my comfort zone to be with church people. It's in my comfort zone to serve people in a community. It's in my comfort. I've gone on service projects before, even in Eastern Kentucky, to do service projects before. Here's something that's outside of my comfort zone: being quiet. I was one of the co-leaders on the team, but one of my commitments was to not volunteer for anything that probably somebody else should do. So whenever they would say, "I need a volunteer to pray," I'd be like, oh, I can pray. I know how to pray. Nope. Just wait. And I'd look at my feet. And then one of these folks, we have a great, competent, brilliant, gifted group of people here. And some of them stepped out of their comfort zone and they said, okay, I'll pray. And you know, if you prayed for breakfast, you got to go through the line first too. And I'm thinking, I could have gone through the line first for breakfast. But as it was, I was quiet. Can you imagine? Pastor Matt quiet for a week. On the last day, our construction leader, Dave, called me the silent one. Does the silent one have something to say today? And that was hard for me to sit back and let everybody else take the lead, but it was a outside of my comfort zone thing that the Lord did in me.
My outside the comfort zone was running power tools, but it was really fun. My other outside my comfort zone was community night. I'm not good with people I don't know real well, and I actually got to sit with Dwayne and Reva and hear some amazing stories. So I was thankful for that. And one thing she said that really struck me was when someone mentioned that only their house and the one across that Dwayne was born in were flooded. And she said she was thankful for that because it saved other houses down the river, or the creek. But that just struck me that she was thankful that her house was flooded to save others.
I'm not prepared at all with what I'm going to say, so they all have notes, and I'm going to wing it. But I went thinking that I was going to use my hands and serve people. God would use my hands to construct something. But he worked in my heart, is what he did. I don't know these people up here well, at least I didn't at the beginning of the trip. And so I thought, well, it's like, you know, I went and I took the three kids in the vehicle with me, and I thought I'm going to be mom for a week down there. that's not how it ended up at all. Like, it was a whole group thing. We had so much fun at night playing cards and laughing. Curfew was supposed to be at 10, at least for the ladies. That might have happened the first night. It was probably pushing midnight a lot of nights, and then you had to get up early in the morning. But we had so much fun, like, at night. Amy Jo, because I called her old, became the old lady in the holler because she couldn't get out of her cot, and we all just roared laughing at that all the time. So it was a good time getting to know people. I, too, was out of my comfort zone. You know, I don't like to do this right here. I don't like to be up in front of people talking. I don't like to pray out loud. But, you know, Bobby and I had a time of prayer together, and we were really able to share some tough things that were going on. And so there was a connection made there. Amy Jo had a 45-minute ride with me to the work site every day and back. And if you ask her, she made the comment after a few days, I thought this was going to be miserable. I don't know you. We have nothing in common. Like, what are we going to talk about for 45 minutes there and 45 minutes back? But she and I really connected at the work site and during those rides. And so, like, a friendship formed there. And we're going to attempt to do a floor in her house. So one of the other things that I wanted to talk about was the blue shirts. The Reach Global staff, they were amazing. This thing is so organized. It's you know, you go there and they've got charts of who's doing what, when, who's in what crew. It's just amazing how organized the whole trip is. And so the blue shirts, there was I'm going to give them some credit. There was Dave and Connie. Eric was there. His wife was not. Amy was not able to be there. Ron and Sheila and Miss Kitty. And we all got to know them too as well. And that was a blessing, getting to know them. What they do is not easy. Breakfast is at 7 a.m. So one of them is there. I wasn't up early enough to know what time they got there, but I'm guessing around 6 to start breakfast. Their days are long. They all come in, have breakfast with us, do the devotions with us. The guys go out to the sites. I was curious as to what the ladies did, so I was asking some questions. So the ladies, that, you know, some of them are doing like administrative things behind the scenes. They're going out, they're talking to the people. They're talking to the people and, you know, praying for the people, doing that trauma care during the days. You know, we'd work our day and come back, and then they're preparing the supper meal for us. They eat supper with us, and then there was something after supper every night. So they're not getting out of there until 7:30 or 8 o'clock at night. So their days are really, really long, and it's gotta be grueling. And we left on a Friday. But that doesn't mean that they're done. They've got a plan for the next group coming in. Someone's got to go out, and they've got to, you know, they have to plan the meals, get the food. The guys are getting supplies for the next week. They're going out meeting with property owners to see what supplies they need to order for an upcoming project. So I was just, like, kind of blown away by how much effort they put into the whole thing. So Peter Boers was able to come and join us. He's a missionary that we support through Reach Global. So, your money is being well spent. There's some of the staff, they're not fully funded that are there. So there's an opportunity. I know we support Peter as a church, but if you want to, as an individual, support somebody, come talk to me and I'll tell you how you can do that.
I'm going to wing it also. Kind of how I went into heading to Kentucky, because like Bobby said, we didn't have a lot of information on what we were going to be doing there. So, yeah, I was stepped out of my comfort zone, too, is picking up devotion. So before we left, Amy Jo kept asking me, do you know what you're going to talk about? Nope. Do you know what you're going to talk about? Have no idea. On the way down, do you know what you're going to do devotion on? I have no idea. So I kept praying about it, and God kept laying on my heart, Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. And that was kind of the theme for at least our group, because like Haley and Jake had said, we got there day one, we couldn't find the materials. We looked right at those materials, to be honest. Like, we were there, we looked at them. God didn't have that plan for us that day. That plan changed with, I don't know how many trips to Lowe's, but we made several trips to Lowe's. Arlene's house was pretty much only a few minutes away from where we were staying, so we didn't get to see a lot of Kentucky like some of our other people did, so other than Lowe's. But so day one, we went and we installed handrails on a deck that had been finished up the week before on the house that Eric is staying at that belongs to the pastor there. So they're renting, like Kelly said, the blue shirts, they're there. Eric, they live in Kentucky. They're not going and staying in fancy homes or hotels and being pampered while they're there working. They were there down in with the people of Kentucky. So we did that. We, like they said, we finally did get to meet Arlene. We did get the skirting put on by the end of the day. But I, like these young kids that went, I was honored and blessed just to be with Jake and Haley. Like, these two worked, and they worked in the heat. We were outside every day in the hot. It was heat. It was warm. And they never once complained. And those two can work together. Like, they were amazing. And I just enjoyed really getting to work with them and hearing Eric's stories. One of the things that's kind of stuck out most to me at the end was we did have the trauma training. And the trauma that these people were still going through is heartbreaking. We were told that now when it rains, there's some of the people leave and go find higher ground because it just a little bit of rain scares them. The kids... parents come home and pick them up from schools because the rain scares them. So like things like Amy Jo said that we take for granted here, like sitting on our deck and watching it rain, the rains, any amount of rain scares the people in that area. And the trauma that they're still going, the community dinner was one of the highlights, I think, I don't know, probably for a lot of us. We got to have dinner with some of the people when they actually made us dinner, which, you know, just shows the compassion that these people have in their time of trouble, you know, to come in and make dinner with us. So we got to spend time with them, talking with them, fellowshipping, eating, laughing, crying. I did get Kitty, that is one of the Reach Global blue shirts there. Bobby found out that she was, got to talk with her a little bit more at the beginning and found out that she was on the Food Network Sugar Rush and talked with her about how I like to bake. So Kitty and I got together, and Laura, one of the ladies that lives down in Kentucky in the Holler, kind of the mayor of the Holler, because the matriarchs of that area run, they take care of things. They're the ones in charge. Was her birthday on Wednesday, so we surprised her by making birthday cake and putting her out of her comfort zone, because she does not, they're very humble. She did not, you know, we sang happy birthday and had cake with her and fellowshipped with her. So it was really a lot of fun, a learning experience. And if you've never been on a missions trip, I encourage you to do it. It was just great, not only getting to meet the people from Kentucky, but like everybody said, we all connected on a different level that we haven't, just coming into church on Sunday and saying hi to each other and maybe a quick handshake. We laughed together, we cried together, and we just, it was a great experience. If you haven't ever done it, I definitely encourage you to do so.
So Colossians 3:17 says, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." And 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." When I started off on Monday, going back to work, as I pulled out of the driveway, the song All In by Matthew West came on the radio, and I just started laughing because it was just, felt it was God, you know, reminding me to be all in for Jesus. So I would like to ask, you know, all of you, are you all ready to be all in for Jesus at work, school, in the grocery store,